We've had some good Sunday school classes downstairs. We're going through the Lutheran Confessions, and it could be a little dry, but I think some of our discussions have made it light and certainly informative, and we've had some really deep discussions and again, some lighthearted ones. But I think of all the stuff we've been discussing, the last couple times we got together have been my favorite, when we were talking about what the writers of the Confessions thought about the church. And it'll probably be on your minds, as Tom mentioned, you've been given a survey. And the focus of our discussion and the focus of what the writers of the Confessions had to say was, this is not the church. This is the church. It's the people. It's the congregation of saints. It's the gathering of worshiping the Lord. It's the going out and proclaiming the gospel message. That's the church, the assembly of believers. And today's writer, Paul, when he writes in his epistles to the Romans, talks a lot about the church. I found this, just considering what we've been talking about over the past couple Sunday school classes, I found this so interesting that his whole focus on his writing today in the book of Romans had to do with the church. Christ gives out so graciously wonderful and varying gifts to his church because he wants us ultimately to be Christ-like in what we do towards ourselves, towards fellow Christians, and to the world. Take a look at, or at least listen, what Paul says when he starts out. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. We're not talking that some people have better gifts than others. Paul's talking about there are just different gifts that have been given out to the church, to the Lord's people. And he lists some of them. And they're wonderful gifts. But they all come from the Holy Spirit. They all come from one. And it's what binds us together in unity. We all work together, sort of like if you take a wheel on a bicycle, and I learned this the hard way, but when you start to take spokes out, that wheel's going to come down on you. It's going to break. All those spokes hold that wheel up together, and all these gifts are used in his church. Listen to some of these gifts. Prophecy. If the gift that has been graced to you is prophecy. Now, let's just clear the air here. What is prophecy? Prophecy, at least in the Old Testament, consisted of two different functions. You could foretell, you could tell what God had given you in a dream and say, this is what's going to happen, but you could also foretell, simply proclaiming what was already known about God, what he had already written. The part of prophecy that does not exist anymore today is foretelling. There is nobody that can predict the future. It doesn't exist. That gift has been gone from the church. But foretelling, proclaiming still exists. We know what God has told us. We know as far as the future goes that he will return. Christ will return at the second coming. We will be gathered up. We will be given glorified bodies. Those things we know about the future only because he's already told us. But foretelling, telling those who Jesus Christ is, that's a gift. Some of you have it. It's not just limited to the pastor of a church. Norm has been up here and preached. Wonderful foretelling. The gift of being able to stand up and say, this is what the Lord says. And also not making it up, simply telling the truth that we know from Scripture. How about service? This is where we get our word deacon. The Greek word is diakonai. Service, the ministry of helps, going out and helping people. Some people have that gift. Helping them with whatever they need. Helping the poor, helping the lame, helping the homeless. You know, some people, that's their calling in life. That they just feel drawn to those who don't have, to those who need assistance. And that's why we have in our church here at Lighthouse, we have deacons. Carol's doing, she's not here today, but she's doing a wonderful job. Cindy did a wonderful job to go out and see who needs our help. You know, we're a big group now. We started small, but we keep growing. And all of us can help people in tremendous ways. Think of the benevolence that gets sent out. People need that. They rely upon that in some cases for the Lord to bless them. And it comes through us, through our deacons. And it's a wonderful gift that's been given. How about teaching? It's tough to teach. I know we have several teachers that are several people that used to be teachers. And you are blessed. You have been given the ability to explain things in a way in which someone, depends upon the age group, someone can comprehend. Kids learn differently than adults. I would think, as I grow older, I think older adults learn differently than, you know, those just starting out with a family and starting to raise kids. Brain just operates and functions differently. And if you have that gift of teaching, then it is a gift from God. It is a grace. And it's wonderful. I will say that teaching is different from preaching. I had a pastor in seminary who would always say, there's a little bit of teaching in my preaching and a little bit of preaching in my teaching. I said, what do you mean by that? He says, preaching is proclaiming God's truth. Sometimes you need to instruct to bring the people along, but it's always proclaiming the Holy Scriptures. When you're teaching, you're teaching people new things they may not have known before. You're teaching them new ideas and new concepts from Holy Scripture. You're leading them along. It's systematic. And sometimes when you're doing that, you just have to tell them that Jesus loves them. You can't just stick to the bare cold facts. So, teaching is quite different than preaching. Exhorting. Paul talks, if you have the gift of exhorting. This is a tough one. I think we have a wonderful elder in our church that has the gift of exhorting, the ability to comfort someone, the ability to admonish someone. I am a difficult person to come up and say, you know what? You're wrong. Really? I think we probably all have a little bit of that in us. Nobody wants to be told they're wrong. If there's anyone in this congregation outside of my immediate family that can come up and say, Pastor, let's sit down and have a talk. It's Norm. He's got that just fatherly way about him that you can come down and sit down and tell me, yeah, you kind of screwed up, boy, but I know you can make it better. You got it in you. That's a gift. It's a spoke on the wheel that keeps this thing called the church moving. How about giving? You know, we got some generous givers here, not only monetarily, but I will say that financially, our congregation is doing quite well. And it is all because of the wonderful giving that has come from everyone sitting in the pews. But there's also sacrificial giving as far as our time. Think of how much time people put in here, cleaning up, moving tables, getting things ready, getting coffee hour ready, cleaning up after coffee hour, communion ware needs cleaned up. Everyone contributes that has that blessed gift of giving. It's a sacrificial, it's a giving of oneself, all for the other person. In this case, it could be for Christ, and sometimes it's giving for someone else in the congregation that just needs help. It's a blessing. Leading. You know, we can always say God will lead our church, and He does that. But He does it through vessels, through leaders that have been given the gift of leading. You know, you need someone to make the difficult decisions. You need someone where the people, the congregation can say, go ahead, tell us, where are we going? How fast do you want us to row? How are we going to get from here to there? And leaders do that. We've got a great council. Everyone on council sits down. We have devotions before council. We talk about the business at hand. We close with the Lord's Prayer. And it runs, at this point, like clockwork. It's a well-greased machine, for lack of a better analogy. It runs superbly. And you have great leaders in this church. Some stand up, like Tom, and give you the news. But there are many others that are on that council that help provide that leadership. And mercy. Mercy is a gift. Everyone can certainly have some level of sympathy or even empathy towards a problem that another person's going through. But there are those that are just blessed with the gift in the church to sit down with those people, to feel their pain, to help them through it, to tell them it'll be all right. There are people who have that gift much more so than the rest of us. And it's so helpful. And they all work together. They all work together to have this thing, to grow the kingdom, to take that kingdom outside of these walls here and tell people about it. And they work together, as Paul says. And I think they work together to build us, to make us better people. Paul continues to write on about our own personal selves, to love without hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite. If you're going to love, love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. That means there's nothing left out. Use it all. And love your neighbor as yourself. How would you treat your own self? Love your neighbor in that way. This is a part of us being Christ-like. Hate what is evil. The word there in Greek is so strong, it's run away from it. It reminds me, we had a vacation Bible school many years ago, and I remember there was some type of a Caribbean-themed hula dancing thing where the kids would sing, "You got to flee temptation." Remember that, kids? Thank you. That song is in my head. I will go to my grave hearing that song in my head. And now it's stuck and it'll be there for the rest of the day. You get to hear it all day from me now. Flee temptation. Don't just say, "Oh, that's not very Christian-like. I'm not going to participate." Get away from it. Just get away from it. Abhor it. It's a strong Greek word that's used there. And cling to what is good. I like this word. Once again, I learn every week, I learn so many new things. Cling to what is good. Cleave to what is good. Same word used about a man and a woman will become one. They will cleave together. Certainly from Matthew. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. It's the word for glue in Greek. You're not two, you're one. Cleave to what is good. That's your personal life in Christ. Paul continues on and says more things about what our duty to the family of God. I'm just going to pick a couple of these that stuck out to me. Be fervent in spirit. Fervent. This was great. Paul's a difficult writer in original language to read. The word he uses here, fervent, is actually the Greek word root for boil. Not in a bad way, but like a locomotive, you know, a steam locomotive. Boil over. Be fervent in spirit. This is what we have to do for each other. We have to encourage each other to be fervent in spirit. The great missionary Henry Martin wrote, as a missionary, "I want to burn out for Christ." I've never said that, but I think I've felt it a couple times. I want to put my life into my brothers and sisters in Christ and to promulgating, getting the gospel out there to the point where that I just burn out. And I'll go to my grave with a smile on my face. And he did just that. Paul says, be devoted in prayer. Wednesday night was remarkable. It was memorable for me. I honestly came in and said, as the leader of this for the first time, how am I going to lead people in prayer for 30 minutes? It was gone like that. There wasn't enough time. I love being in prayer and having that one day a week where we all get together just for a time of prayer for me, it was really, really nice. And contributing to the needs of the saints. You know, there's so many little things we do that help each other, encourage each other, prod each other along. You can do it. Those are all things that the church needs. They come through our graces, our gifts that we've been given. And it helps us grow out from these walls into the community. And lastly, Paul talks about not just the things we do for ourselves to be Christ-like, not just the things we do towards each other, being in spirit, being fervent in prayer, in spirit and being in prayer, but he talks about those around the world, around us, that we see on a daily basis. This is really taking our gifts to another level. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them. Do not curse them. It's so easy to get mad at someone, especially when they come up against your beliefs. I don't know if I told it during a sermon one time or I said it during Sunday school, but I remember checking out once and at Christmas time, and I'm trying to think, drawing a blank here now. But I remember as I was checking out, I had someone say, someone said goodbye. It was near Christmas time, and I said, God bless you. And they said, well, I'm an atheist. And I said, then may he doubly bless you. Bless those who persecute you. This is just someone that doesn't believe. It's very tough when people come up against your beliefs. It's tough to stay calm. It's tough to go to the Lord and ask them to bless this person. May he know your risen Son. But that's what we're called to do. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Whether they're Christian or not, this world is full of a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. It's also full of some happiness. Rejoice with people. But weep with them too. Stay by their side. There's a great preacher, I didn't catch who it was as I was coming into church today, and they were talking about the helper, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, and was explaining that the words in English don't adequately explain the paraclete. You know, one translation calls it the advocate, one translation in English calls it the helper, one translation in English calls it the counselor. Why does every translation call it something different? Because there's no adequate word to describe the word paraclete. It is the companion, the one who will be beside you. This particular preacher said the best word he's found is mentor. The one who leads you, who guides you, who's there with you during the sad times, who's there with you during the happy times. And he says, and this is what we're all called to do as Christians for our fellow man, Christian or not. These are our gifts. We have to use them. If you don't use them, they tend to get lost, or worse yet, they create problems in our lives. I was watching a YouTube video yesterday on the shoeing, and Norm, you'll appreciate this, on the shoeing of a draft horse. I love draft horses. They're giant. They're just these huge beasts. They call them the gentle giants, and the blacksmith yesterday said, yeah, they're gentle giants, all right. They'll gently crush you into the side of the wall if you're not careful. And they were shoeing it. And these horses want to pull. The milk truck was coming in, and the milk truck, during a heavy snowstorm in central Pennsylvania, went off the side of the road. This is a semi-truck. Went off the side of the road. The farmer at that area brought out his four draft horses, hooked them up to the semi, pulled the semi off back onto the road and straightened it out. I don't think these horses even, I don't even think I saw any kind of major air breath come out of their nose. It was nothing. They love to pull. The point of this is, if you don't let them pull, they can die from muscle problems. They have to exert their muscles, or it'll kill them. The very thing that makes them what they are will kill them. We've been given these beautiful graces, these gifts. You know what graces you have. Use it. Use them for yourself, for our congregation, and for the world around you. This is Paul's point today. May God bless you, and may you use the abundant gifts that have been freely given to us, now and forevermore. Amen.